Psalm 100, and I want to read one verse one more time. Psalm 100, verse number 4. Psalm 100, verse number 4 says this: "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his holy name." This morning, I want to begin a series on prayer. I've entitled the series, "The 7 P's of Prayer," or "The P's of Prayer." 7 essentials that I believe every Christian should pray for. It's 7 things that I pray for every single day without fail. I pray for these 7 P's. And I'm going to make a series out of this, and we will be looking at a different P for the next 8 weeks, or next 8 services, I should say, because I'm just going to go one service right after another service. So it's Sunday night. We'll go and cover the first P of prayer. This morning, I want to give you an introductory sermon into the series, but tonight we'll give you the first P of prayer, Wednesday night, the second, and so forth. So every service for the next 8 services, we're going to be focusing on this idea of prayer. It is our theme of the year, in everything by prayer. In everything by prayer. And so I want to give you a series this spring, before we get to Easter, on the subject of prayer. This morning, I specifically want to talk to you about the prelude, or a prelude of praise. A prelude of praise. This is something that we ought to do before we actually get into the prayer mode of asking God for things. Prayer is asking God for things. Prayer is asking God for intervention, to meet a need. That certainly is prayer. But before we do that, praise is an important aspect to prayer. You notice what it said in verse 4? We're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. When we go to God in prayer, if we will enter with a thankful heart and a heart of praise, with praise on our lips to the Lord, then we'll have a much more effective prayer life, a much more passionate prayer life, and I believe we'll get our prayers answered more often if we will come to God with this attitude of adoration and praise towards him. Let me pray, and I'll get into the message this morning. The message is a prelude of praise as we begin our series of the 7 P's of prayer. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for prayer. Thank you for the privilege it is to pray. Lord, we have been emphasizing that so far this year, in everything by prayer. It's an essential. It's something that we have to do. We must do it. For without you, we can do nothing. We have to be people of prayer. We've got to build a life around prayer. And Lord, if we're going to do that, we're going to need to have an important aspect of praise on our lips. And so this morning, Lord, I pray that you'd help me. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, empty me of self, cleanse my heart and mind of anything that would get in the way of delivering your message this morning. I pray that you would bind Satan. I pray that the demons and devils would tremble at the voice of the Lord. I pray that as Jesus is magnified, as God is emphasized, that all would give worship and glory to him who sits on the throne. We're so thankful for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you use the sermon, the message, to help and encourage your people to be people of praise. We ask your blessing on the sermon, on the message, in Christ's name. Amen. Henry Ironside said this: "We would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction." We would worry less if we praised more. God wants us to be people who praise him. In fact, that's why we were made, to praise the Lord. In fact, Psalm 150 says everything that has breath should praise the Lord. And so as we begin to look at seven essentials of prayer, we must start with a prelude to prayer. And that prelude is a prelude of praise. It's coming to God with a heart of adoration and affection to the Lord and praising Him, magnifying Him. What does it mean to praise Him in prayer? The word praise means to shine, hence to make a show. It has the idea of boasting or bragging about someone. Praise means to make God a shiny trophy of grace. Make God a shiny testament to His work in our lives. Make God a being that is worthy of all praise and all blessings and compliments. We're to rave or celebrate about Him. We're to make Him shine. He's God and He's God alone. And the way we make Him shine as God is by letting our works glorify Him. And the work that glorifies Him most is when we praise Him, when we give Him honor and praise. This morning, if you will praise the Lord, you'll make the Lord the center of attention. If you'll praise the Lord, you'll make the whole show about Him. If you'll praise the Lord, you'll start bragging about how good He is. If you'll praise the Lord, you'll just keep talking about Him instead of talking about yourself, your problems, your issues, your difficulties. We'll begin to celebrate Him and sing about Him if we praise Him. So what does it mean to praise Him in prayer? It means to lift Him up, brag about Him, boast about Him, rave about Him, celebrate Him, and just to make Him shine. When should we praise Him? How often should we praise Him? Well, I have a few scriptural verses for you, okay? The first one I want to show you is Psalm 145, verse 2. Actually, I don't have that verse up there. I'm sorry, Josiah. I forgot about the Bible verses. You'll have to look at it in your own Bible, but that's okay. That'll be beneficial for you for sure. Psalm 145, verse 2, this is what the Bible says. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Psalm 145, verse 2 says that every day we should bless the Lord and praise the Lord. Every single day. There ought to be praise on our lips. When we wake up, we ought to thank God. Lord, thank You for another day to serve You. Lord, I praise You for being so good to me. I praise You for keeping me through another night. I praise You for giving me a warm house to wake up in. I praise You for giving me maybe a coffee maker to make a coffee when you wake up. I praise You, Lord, that I have my Bible. I praise You, Lord, that I have the ability to pray. It was Charles Spurgeon who said, "There is a hollow tradition of praise, and each generation should hand on the praise of God as a precious legacy to the next one. Train up your sons and daughters to praise your God, so that when your voice is silent in death, another voice like your own may continue the strain." I wonder what kind of legacy we're leaving our children. I wonder what kind of example we're setting for our children. When we're gone and we're in the grave, or we're physically but spiritually, our souls in heaven, when we're long gone from this earth, what will our children say about us? Will they say, "Hey, my dad was a praising father"? Or will he say, "My dad was a complaining father"? Will he say, "My dad was a dad that prayed and worshiped the Lord"? Or will he say, "My dad was someone who always talked about how difficult life was, or how negative life was"? We are leaving our children an example, and we ought to leave them an example of praising the Lord. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. I hope you praise the Lord every single day of your life. That's where you need to start. Now, for those of you that would say, "Pastor, I do that. Every single day I praise the Lord." Okay, well, let's go a step further. Let's read to you 1 Chronicles 23, verse 20. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 30, rather. 1 Chronicles 23, verse number 30. You can see it when you get there, but I'm going to read it. 1 Chronicles 23, 30 says this, "And to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord, and likewise at even." That verse says we're to stand and praise the Lord every morning and every night.
we're to praise Him.
When should we praise Him? Every day, for sure. But not just every day, twice a day. In the morning and at night, we ought to stand and praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. We praise Him for waking us up and giving us a new day to serve Him. And then at the end of the day, we thank Him for allowing us to live a full day and praise Him that we get to lay our head on a pillow and go to sleep at night. We praise Him for the good things He does for us. We praise Him for the blessings of the day. We praise Him for the opportunities that He gives us each and every day. I love what Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23 and verse 24 talk about. It talks about how the mercies of the Lord are new every morning, and His faithfulness faileth not. God is so faithful. He's faithful to keep you through a night. He's faithful to keep you through a day. And when you go to bed at night, you ought to praise the Lord. You ought to start your day and end your day the same way by giving praise and honor and glory to Him alone who deserves it. But every morning when you wake up, you need to start the day off the right foot and praise the Lord. Charles Spurgeon also said this, wash your face every morning in a bath of praise. I like that. Wash your face every morning in a bath of praise. You just wake up in order to get those, you know, whatever those things are called in the corner of your eye, okay? Whatever, and maybe you need to just get some of that drool that was happening during the night off the side of your face. You need to give your face a good wash, and you put your head down in that sink, and you put that warm water on your face, or sometimes cold water to wake yourself up. You put that water on your face and you wash your face. Well, we ought to do that spiritually by giving God praise and glory. Every day we should praise Him, but not only every day, twice a day, morning and night. Now, if you thought that was hard, you're not going to like the next one. You're not going to like Psalm 119, verse 164. Psalm 119, verse 164. The Bible says, seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. So you need to work your way up to that goal of seven times a day. Seven is a number of completion, a number of maturity, a number of perfection. And you want to get there. You want to be able to praise the Lord seven times a day. But maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're honest with God and with yourself, and you would say to yourself, I don't even think I praise God every single day. Well, then that's where you need to start. You need to make a decision, a commitment. Lord, I'm going to start praising You every single day. And once you do that, and once you got that down, and once you are in the routine, I don't like using that word, but once you are in the habit of praising God every single day, then try to increase it to twice a day, morning and at night. And then once you got that down, then you can build up to 3, 4, 5, and eventually to 7 times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. So to praise the Lord means to make Him shine. It means to boast about Him. It means to brag about Him. It means to rave about Him. It means to celebrate Him and who He is. And we're to do that every single day of our lives. We're to do it morning and at night. We're to do it 7 times a day. We're to live a life of praise. So how do we praise Him? How do we praise Him in prayer? This morning, quickly, I want to give you 4 things that I believe will help you to praise Him in prayer. Number one, praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for who He is. Here's how I like to do it. Now, I'm no great model to follow, but this helps me to be able to praise God in a thorough and yet lengthy way. I like to use the alphabet method. The alphabet method of praising God. I start off and I'll say, Father, You're almighty. Father, You're the bright and morning star. Father, You're the bishop of my souls. Father, You're the comforter. Father, You're my defender and deliverer. Father, You're the eternal one. Father, You're faithful. Father, You're faithful. Father, You're holy. Father, You're gracious and You're good. Father, EFGH, EFG, oh, I messed up, right? EFG, gracious and good, then holy. Okay, I don't even know my own alphabet. You're almighty. You're the bright and morning star. You're my comforter. You're my deliverer and defender. You're my eternal one. You're the eternal Father. You're faithful. You're good. You're gracious. You're holy. You're immutable, which means he doesn't change. You're just. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're Jesus. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're my Messiah, my Master. You're near and you're nigh to the broken heart. You never forsake or never leave. L-M-N-O. You're omnipotent. You're omniscient. Omniscient meaning he's all-knowing. You're omnipresent meaning you're everywhere all the time. And you're omniscient, omnipresent. You're omnipotent, all-powerful. You're powerful and you're patient. Now, this is a difficult one. But he is the quickening God. He quickens us. He brings us. He makes us alive. And he's my redeemer. He's my righteousness. S, Savior, Sovereign. T, he's truth. U is another difficult one. I just say you're my undertaker and my upper taker. V, he's my victory. W, he's wisdom. X, that's enough of another difficult one. I like to say he's excellent and he's the X factor. Okay? There you go. That works. Especially the way I spell. But you're excellent and you're the X factor. X, Y, you're Yeshua. You're yay and amen. Z, you're Zion's attention. You're Zion's king. Zion is another word for heaven. Earthly Zion, of course, Jerusalem, but there's a heavenly Zion. And do that and be creative with it. But you just begin to tell God everything he is. And as you do that, as you praise him for who he is, boy, something happens in your heart. Sometimes I get so caught up into praising him that I run out of time to really get to the things that I really want to pray for. And I have to speed through the seven things, especially if I have to go to a meeting or I have an appointment or something like that. But you get into praise him for who he is. I like to use that alphabet method, but you can use whatever method you desire. But brag about him, praise him, magnify him, rave about him, celebrate him for who he is. I'm so glad our God is good this morning. I hold on to that promise that the goodness of the Lord endureth continually. I hold on to that because I see a lot of bad things in this world. I see a lot of negative things that take place, but I hold on. God, you're always good. When negative things happen, you're still good. When bad things happen, you're still good. When evil things happen, you're still good. And I hold on to the goodness of God. You just praise him for who he is. Number two, thank him for his blessings. Thank him for his blessings. That's what it said in Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Thank him for his blessings. And don't tell me you don't have any. You have abundance full of blessings. If you're a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, then you have this promise from the psalmist that the Lord daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily, he loads us with benefits or blessings. So we have blessings where we need to go to God with and thank him for them. I know of two preachers that have had terrible things happen to both of them. The first preacher was working underneath a van. The van slipped off the jack stand and fell on him. And it crushed part of his skull. He had to have reconstructive surgery for his skull. Thank God he lived. He survived it, but his skull is disformed because of it. And yet this preacher, this man, stands behind the pulpit that he gets to pastor his people with. And he stands behind that pulpit and he gives praise to God for all his goodness. He magnifies the Lord and praises him for being sovereign, for being good, for being all-powerful. Even though something, we would say bad, tragic happened to him. He never got bitter. He never got angry with God. He still praises God. Another preacher I know of got meningitis. And this meningitis caused him memory loss and severe speech impairment. He's constantly in pain. Yet he too stands behind pulpits with the sweetest spirit. He's an evangelist. John Bishop is his name. And he goes around the country and proclaims, God is good. God is good and God is always right. If these men can praise the Lord for his blessings in their lives, what excuse do we have not to praise him? I was convicted this past week. I was convicted for all the times I complained and griped about my knee and my leg issue that I deal with every single day. And the reason I was convicted, because I know a little 8-year-old girl who doesn't have any feet. I got feet. I can walk. Maybe not like I used to be able to, but I can get around okay. I have no reason to complain, no reason to gripe. Listen, somebody has it worse than you have it. You'll always be able to find someone that is worse off than you. When you put things into perspective, and you realize that we don't deserve anything. So any good thing that we do have is worthy of going to the Lord with and praising him for it. But thank him for the blessings in your life. Yes, there are things in our lives that we wish we could get rid of. We wish they were not part of our journey, our course. But we need to praise God in spite of those things. And even get to the point where we thank him for those things. Because that's what he tells us to do in everything, to give thanks. We need to thank him for his blessings. And sometimes tragic situations, heartbreaking experiences, sometimes they're just God's blessings in disguise. So we need to thank him for his blessings. Number three, we need to worship him by praying a hymn. We need to worship him by praying a hymn. I hope you have a songbook. If not, you need to purchase one and get yourself a songbook. I love using the hymn book as a way to praise and worship the Lord. And I don't sing because I don't like hearing myself sing. So what I love to do is I love to just read a hymn from a heart of gratitude to the Lord. It'd go like something like this. Reading a hymn as a prayer to God. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our song shall rise. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty. A lot of times I can't get through the hymn because I was just start thanking God. And Lord, thank you for being merciful to me. Thank you for allowing me to spend time with you this morning. But you get the idea, merciful and mighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, holy, holy. All saints adore thee. Lord, I adore thee. Casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Lord, I know if I get any crowns, it's only enabled me to do any good thing on earth. And cherubims and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert, which art, and evermore shalt be. Holy, holy, holy thou art, though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful men thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy. And Lord, there's none beside thee. You're perfect in power, in love, in purity. You get the idea. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, and the triumphs of his grace. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing his power and his love. He's our shield, our defender, our Ancient of Days. He's pavilioned in splendor and he's girded with praise. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender and how firm to the end. You're our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. So here's what I'll do. I'll crown him with many crowns. The Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthems drown all music but its own. As you can see, my prelude prayer, my praise turns into sometimes a shouting fest, a preaching fest where I'm just preaching his praise, magnifying him. It excites me. When you get in the presence of God and you magnify who he is, when you praise him for who he is, when you begin to thank him for all the blessings in your life, and then you worship him by reading a hymn or by singing a song, it does something to your heart that prepares you for prayer. Lastly, number four, magnify him by reading a psalm. Every single day, I read a psalm. And lately, on Sundays and Wednesdays, I read a lot of psalms because we've been going through it as a church through the book of Psalms. It's a book that I believe every Christian needs every single day. It's so important that we magnify Him by reading a psalm. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, and He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. And you just start going through the book of Psalms. And sometimes I'll read up to 5 psalms a day, depending on the length of the psalms. Sometimes the psalm, if it's short, I was like, I need more, Lord. I need more. I need to magnify You more and praise You. And what better way can you praise the Lord by using His own word? He's magnified His word above His very name. And when you take the word of God and you speak it back to Him in praise, He's glorified. Praise Him for who He is. Thank Him for His blessings. Worship Him by praying a hymn or reading a hymn or singing a hymn, and then magnify Him by reading a psalm or two. But God is so patient towards us. There's been times where I've failed to do this. And I've run to God and I say, God, give me, give me. God, I want this, or God, I need this. God, You really got to come through for me. And I just ask for something. And there's been times where God has still answered that prayer because He's patient, He's kind. But as I've grown, as I've learned, it's much more pleasing to Him if we come to Him with a heart of praise first and thank Him for who He is, thank Him for what we do have. If we come to Him with a proper attitude rather than a give me, give me, give me, spoiled brat kind of attitude. I deserve this, God. God, you really need to come through for me. I believe He's pleased and more prone to answer our prayer when we come with the right attitude and an attitude of praise. So this morning, before we get into the 7 P's of prayer, I want to say, let's learn to become people of praise. Toward the end of his life, William Sangster, a renowned preacher, had cancer. He could move about, but the cancer took his vocal cords. He could not speak. He survived the cancer, but lost his voice. On one Easter morning, he looked terribly despondent. Someone asked, "What's wrong, preacher?" He wrote on a pad these words, quote, "What a tragedy, Resurrection Lord's Day, and no voice with which to praise my great Redeemer's name," end quote. A few moments pass, and as he looked out the window, feeling sad, something came over him. The Spirit of God came over him. His eyes began to get big. He took that same pad and wrote down these words, quote, "There is only one thing more tragic, to have a voice and fail to praise the great Redeemer's name." He'd gone from feeling sorry for himself and saying, "It's Resurrection Sunday morning, but I can't speak. I can't praise Him." After a little while dwelling on that, and the Holy Spirit bringing to his mind how it would be even more tragic for someone to have a voice and to fail to praise a great Redeemer's name. This morning, we want to please the Lord by becoming people of praise. It's an essential part to the prayer life. It's an essential part to the 7 P's that I will be giving you in the next several services. We've got to begin here. We've got to begin praising Him. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy grace, salvation so rich and free. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Amen. God's good. He deserves all praise, all glory, all honor. And if you'll begin to practice a prelude of praise before you pray, a great change will take place. Oh, you may never get exactly what you ask for, but in your heart, you'll become more and more like the Savior, more like Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the voice that You have given us. And Lord, if we can speak, then we ought to praise you. You said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Lord, I would tremble at the thought of you having to take away my vocal cords in order to get me to appreciate the ability I have to speak and to praise you. I'm thankful for the way you spoke to that preacher's heart and made him realize that praise is a matter of the heart. Even if you don't have a voice, you can still praise him from the heart. But Lord, if we have a voice this morning, are we using it to praise you? Or are we using it to gripe, complain, moan, and murmur, just be ungrateful? Lord, help us. Help us with this matter of praise. We know that it'll please you if we become people of praise. I pray that you would continue to challenge us and convict us to become children. Praise you through the good and the bad, through the thick and the thin. Every day, even morning and evening, Lord, maybe 7 times a day. Help us, Lord, we pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the decision that God wants you to make today. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God wants to save you, but in order for you to be saved, you've got to realize 3 things. First, that you're a sinner. All have sinned. Second, that there's a penalty on that sin. And that penalty is death and hell in the lake of fire. But the third thing you need to realize is that Jesus came to pay for that penalty for you. And he died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood so that you could be forgiven. And though we're all sinners, all of us can be forgiven of our sin because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't recall a time when you called out to him and asked him to come into your heart to save you from your sins, then I would encourage you today to make this the day of your salvation. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you would say, Pastor, I do remember a time, I remember a day, I remember an event when I called out to Jesus and asked him to save me. Would you raise your hand? You can confidently say that one day you did that. You called upon Jesus to save you. I see those hands. I see those hands. Okay, you may put those down. Let me ask you one other question. Is there anyone here that would be honest and say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand because I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I ever truly asked Jesus to save me and forgive me of my sins. Is there anyone here like that? It's just between me and you. No one else is looking. Is there any hands like that? Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could have everlasting life. We've got to believe and trust him for our salvation and forgiveness of our sins. I pray that you'd make that clear in every person's mind and heart that they've done that. And Lord, now I pray that you would bless our time of invitation. I pray, Holy Spirit, you continue to speak to hearts and that people respond in praise to you. We ask your blessing upon the song in Christ's name. Amen.